south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Hey, you gotta love these gringos that come down and get boots on the ground and see what things are really like. I'm talking about my friend Dave, who came down to one of my earlier Expat Insider seminars. A very nice, smart guy who's always been interested in starting a Chinese restaurant down here. Because he's had boots on the ground in Central and South America, and he knows Chinese restaurants here are sorely lacking. Not in number, not at all. They've got great volume down here, but terrible quality. And even worse, sanitation and hygiene, if you can believe that. In fact, everybody I know has been sick on Chinese food down here at one time or another. Now, if you remember, a few shows ago, I mentioned I finally found a decent Chinese restaurant. Small, clean, good food and all that. A rarity. Actually, up to first world snuff. Kinda. It even has a restroom where you could be comfortably sick. I mean, come on, it's happened to all of us. You get kind of sick in one particular orifice or another. And though we'd all much rather be that kind of ill in the clean comfort of our own homes, nope, you can't plan these things. So, when you're out and about and miles away from home sweet home, well, you make do. And in this particular tiny gem of a Chinese restaurant, the restroom does pass first world muster. Anyway, Dave and I are always shooting emails back and forth, often about Chinese restaurants and how to really do it right down here. I mean, face it, it's like that old saying, water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. Well, down here it's Chinese restaurants everywhere, and, well, you get the idea. So anyway, Dave came back down to Central America, and I sent him over to that new Chinese restaurant. And now I'll read his follow-up email after he visited the place. First, let me point out that this restaurant's in one of those safe, high-end burbs I've been talking about, on a main road a good 25 miles from a big Latin city. One of those upscale areas that are great places for expats to live. And you could tell because the strip mall this restaurant's in has a parking lot that's occasionally filled with Range Rovers and BMWs, upscale cars mostly. Meaning, nary a 90cc crappy motorcycle nor a junky shit box car to be found. With the anchor store in that mall being a big, well-known supermarket chain. By the way, every Latin country has its own supermarket chains along with Walmart and Costco. The local chains can be low, medium, or high-end too. Often it depends on what kind of neighborhood you happen to be in. For example, in a higher-end neighborhood like the one we're talking about, they have a supermarket branch that's high-end, well-kept up, very clean, organized. Yet the same branch of that store chain will have a supermarket in a real scummy low-end neighborhood, and the place will match. It'll be scruffy, dimly lit, dirty windows, bad bathrooms, etc. So these franchise store chains do know how to cater to the socioeconomic class of their clients. And believe it or not, what they stock varies from store to store depending on the socioeconomic class too. For example, you'll go into one store in a high-end neighborhood and they'll have two different kinds of kosher sea salt from the Mediterranean, and you'll go to one of their very same stores in a low-end neighborhood, they won't have any sea salt at all. And if you ask the clerk, he won't know what the hell you're talking about. Meaning, I guess, that some of the more thriving Latin American businesses have actually discovered the law of supply and demand. Oh, and by the way, you should know this. Supply and demand is called in Spanish, oferta y demanda. Oferta, which means offer, y demanda. Literally in English, offer and demand. By the way, there are those medium and low-end supermarket chains that never penetrate into the high-end neighborhoods because, well, they're just too scruffy, disorganized, and, well, typically Latin. Yet with all their defects, like the Chinese restaurants down here, they seem to thrive. Details, details. That said, let me read this email from Dave now, who's been checking out Chinese restaurants, and lately, the one in the medium high-end strip mall that I give a thumbs up to. However, it has its defects, and Dave will explain a few of them to you. So, Dave says, "Hey, Johnny, just went to the Qin Shi Chinese restaurant last week. They have their own name for tacos chinos, which is, of course, egg rolls to us. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Let me explain something here for a second. I should mention that all throughout Latin America, at those thousands and thousands of substandard Chinese restaurants, if you order egg rolls, you have to order tacos chinos. Chinese tacos, obviously. Tacos chinos, huh? And Dave says, yeah, it makes him laugh. But Dave says this particular Chinese restaurant has their own name for tacos, chinos, or egg rolls. They call theirs shit tacos. Shit tacos. That's S-H-I-T-A-C-O-S. By the way, for those of you seeing this on YouTube, you'll get a big laugh because I've got a photo of it up there. Yep, you'll see a plate of those yummy shit tacos in full color. Okay. Then Dave says, I saw the owner and talked to his daughter, who speaks English well. Oh, he also said he stayed at a 4-star hotel in Guatemala City, which gave him a few laughs too. He said, the sign in the hot tub area was misspelled or lost in translation. It said, hot tube, T-U-B-E, which just might give a clueless gringo pause if he were to do a midnight skinny dip cannonball. Ow! And the last line of the sign reads, quote, you are not allowed to use our hot tube if you are pregnant. Sounds reasonable enough. However, to our first world sensibilities, you might be thinking, hot tube. Hey, isn't that how most people get pregnant in the first place? And then Dave said he took a walk around the general area and stumbled into a middle-class mall. There he saw a store called American Racks, R-A-C-K-S. It was a clothing store, right? But by the name, he thought at first it might be a competitor to Hooters, which has also landed down here in Latin America. Then he said walking around, he saw a proctology clinic that had some interesting signage, too. And remember, Dave's reporting from well off the gringo tourist trail where locals never notice the errors. They figure anything in English is cool and high class, so they go for it, no matter if it's grammatically correct or not. So then Dave says, in case you don't know what proctology is, I guess they have to spell it out for you. It says, first in Spanish, colon-recto-ano. Then it says in English, colon-rectum-anus. Fair enough, you know, in case they pick up a gringo client or two. But get this, the actual name of the place is Colon Recto S.A.R., which directly translates into English as Colons and Rectums Incorporated. You know, when you see stuff like that, you know you're way off the gringo tourist trail. Sounds like either a bad porn movie or what the sign should say above the U.S. Congress when it's in session. And then Dave ends by saying, no ands, ifs, or buts about what's going on there. No pun intended, right, Dave? Then Dave finishes by putting a link up saying, Johnny, have a look at this link to see what the American media is falsely saying about the Latin legal system, that you're guilty until proven innocent. But in the U.S., you're, quote, innocent until proven guilty. Yeah, right. Then Dave says, the feds in the states are trying to teach Latin governments to do asset forfeitures and other atrocities. Thank God the Latins are not cooperating as the feds would like. So anyway, Johnny, good to talk to you, and I'll be back in 6 months or so to finish my permanent residency. All right, Dave, that's the way to do it. And my comments? As you know, Dave, it's only people like you who get boots on the ground that see these things. Yep, you can spend hundreds of hours on the internet, and still it'll be nothing like getting just a few days with boots on the ground here. And about those crazy Latin signs and habits and nuances, just noticing that stuff is all part of your gringo advantage and, well, why they call it the third world. And about what you said in the end of your email about Latin American law differing from U.S. law. So is it really true down here you're guilty until proven innocent and up there innocent until proven guilty? Well, really, it's just a case of semantics and we know what it's really like up in the States, don't we? So then if you're undergoing a criminal prosecution down here, what are your rights under the law? You will hear stories from the middle and lower classes that you are guilty until proven innocent. But you'll only really hear that from people who are broke or who don't have lawyers. In fact, you'll find almost all middle and lower class Latins have never used a lawyer in their lives unless they've bought or sold property. Sort of like the way it was in the 60s and 70s in the States before first world lawsuit mania kicked in. Now, that mania has not arrived down here. There's a big lag time, thank God. However, like I said, if you talk to someone from the middle or lower classes, they'll give you examples on how the law assumes you are guilty, not innocent. And here's a common example. If a middle or lower middle class Latin is driving a motorcycle and gets into an accident, the cops will show up, impound his bike, and take him straight to jail unless he's in the hospital or the morgue. And why is that? Well, that's because he doesn't have two nickels to scrape together and he doesn't have a lawyer. However, you and I will have a personal Latin lawyer, and if we get in trouble, that's the very first call we'll make. Then he'll show up or send someone from his office and they won't take your car and they won't put you in jail. Sure, they might take you down to the station, but your lawyer will do the talking and get you out of that one soon. Besides that, you'll be carrying car insurance and the cops will have no reason to impound your car unless you actually hit someone and put them in the hospital. However, if you don't have insurance, they'll take it. So down here, if you don't have car insurance or you don't have a lawyer, you're guilty until proven innocent. But if you do, you're innocent until proven guilty. As simple as that. Doesn't sound fair, but hell, even Socrates once said, "There's no proof that Zeus is fair," or something like that. Oh, and get this. The other day I was at a middle-class Latin person's house and the TV was on. TVs are always on in Latin households, by the way. Oh, and up in the States, they call the TV the universal babysitter, right? Well, down here, it's the universal babysitter's babysitter. The babysitter being the cleaning lady or the nanny. Now, whether there's a baby in the picture or not, you can bet she'll be sneaking a peek at the TV any chance she gets. So when she's in the house cleaning or whatever, just a tip here, turn off the tube and drain the hot tube too, if you have one. Anyway, I'm sitting in the living room and the maid's flicking through the channels and she stops at MTV where there's some ridiculous Latin heartthrob belting out some annoying syrupy piece of mush. Yes, they do have a Latin MTV here. An exact copy of the old MTV format, only everything's in Spanish. And talk about lag time. You know what the latest and greatest is right now on Latin MTV? There's a new show called Unplugged. Wow, isn't that an innovation? Only about 30 years behind the first world on that one, huh? And guess what they call it? Unplugged. No, not desconexión or desconectado, which would be the correct words in Spanish. Instead, they just defer to the English name. Go figure. Now, speaking of lag time, I just had to cut out this little ad in the paper. Guess what else has arrived recently in Latin America? Coaching. Yes, business coaching. Of course, you know, it's been all the rage in the States for, what, 10 years now? And yes, now it's arrived in all its glory. This ad is in Spanish, of course, and it says, in funky, trendy letters, learn how to be a coach. Get your international certification diploma in coaching business groups. You'll be instructed by Master Coach Sonia Colombo from the DR, the Dominican Republic. Yeah, right. We all know the world's epicenter, the mecca for business coaching is the DR. Where else? Okay, changing gears a bit. Here's an article about child upbringing here in Latin America. Very interesting. According to a poll of 16,000 adult Latins, 98.7% of them admitted part of their childhood discipline included being spanked by one or more of their parents. And the poll points out that less than 0.5, that's half of 1% of Latins, say they were never subjected to physical discipline in the home. So it's lag time again. Down here, it's spare the rod, spoil the child, and up in the States, it's spare the rod and spend a couple days in jail cooling off. But the odd thing is, half of all those adult Latins surveyed said they'd never hit their own children. Well, doesn't that sound a lot like what happened with U.S. adults in the 60s, 70s, and 80s? Almost all of them were spanked on occasion by their World War II or Depression-era parents. Yet today, more than half of modern U.S. parents say they never hit their kids. So then, is there a reasonable level of corporal punishment for children? Well, Latins seem to think so. Might that be why 95% of Latin American children are calm, reserved, and respectful around parents, adults, and elders? Meanwhile, many children of the Latin wealthy classes are in constant parental disrespect mode? I don't know. You tell me. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't see parents whipping their kids or kids running around with bruises and lacerations. Because, you see, as one Latin parent told me, after a couple of swats when they're pretty young, they almost never pull any crap again. So, bottom line, kids are not whipped with regularity. The kids just know what's coming if they get out of line, so they don't get out of line. So say the parents, anyway. And from what I can see, it looks like it's true. Now, maybe I feel this way myself because my dad whacked me a few times. And I knew I got off easy because I was a pretty crafty kid and I didn't get caught in my misdemeanors not one-tenth of the time. So how about you? Did your parents whoop you on occasion? Or were they the benevolent Brady Bunch parents or Ward and June Cleaver type? Now, I'll tell you, it really bothers me when I see kids mouthing off to their parents. I tell you, it used to drive me nuts in my own extended family up in Chicago when I'd go to a party or a get-together and I'd see the kids, my nieces and nephews, saying harsh and nasty things to their parents I could never get away with when I was a kid. In fact, I yelled at my own sister's kid once because he was jumping up and down on a glass end table, and after that, she didn't speak to me for a year. Instead, she read me the riot act, saying I had no right to discipline her kids. By the way, that kid right now is in his mid to late 20s. And guess what? After wrecking three or four of his parents' cars, he's one of those kids who couldn't make it on his own, so he came back to live with mommy. Sound familiar? Now, down here in Latin America, I do see kids insult their parents, but I only see it happening with guess who? With permissive gringos and their insolent kids. I'll tell you, even wise-ass Latin kids of the rich don't berate their parents in public anyway. They seem to have that much sense. But I've been in spots where I've seen gringo kids, even half-gringo kids, from a mixed Latino-gringo marriage, insult their parents in the worst way in front of company, and the parents just take it. Then again, I know gringos with kids who are perfectly well-behaved. But it's the gringos who've lost control of their kids that drive me nuts. In fact, one time I was at a gringo friend of mine's house, and his 14-year-old daughter laid into him with such venom, I just had to say something. I pulled him aside and said, "Why do you take that from her? I'm not telling you how to bring your kid up. I'm just saying, in front of me, it's uncomfortable." And another reason why I live off the gringo tourist trail, because on that trail, you run into the same old crap that you've been trying to get the hell away from. In fact, the other day I was speaking with the famous John Galt. I mentioned that until I started doing my expat insider seminars around 5 years ago now, there was something like a 15-year period where I rarely had contact with gringos at all, which is why I believe that sometimes I switch back and forth from Spanish to English in the same sentence without realizing it. It's kind of weird and probably annoys people, but sometimes my Spanish kind of inadvertently leaks out when I'm speaking with a gringo. Nope, it's not Alzheimer's, but language schizophrenia. But where were we? Oh, yeah. Bottom line, no one, I mean no one, gets in trouble down here for whacking their kids. Well, whacking them out, yes, but not for just whacking them. Which means Latin parents don't get any flack or dirty looks from parents when they swat their kids or yank them around by the ears in a public place like Walmart. Yep, it's like going 30 or 40 years back in time. You gotta love it. Or not. Oh, and I mentioned I was at a house where the maid was flicking through the channels and she stomped on MTV Unplugged. And when she had her fill of that, she flicked to a news channel that immediately caught her interest. Now, Latinos will always stop on a channel when they're showing some city up in the States where Latinos are picketing and protesting. And these days you'll see that a lot. For one thing, they're always hoping to see if Trump had a heart attack or something. And some are watching because they're hoping against all odds they might catch a glimpse of Uncle Julio who slipped across the Rio Grande a couple of years back. And it's true, all middle and lower middle class Latins do have relatives up in the States. So what's the point? Well, something you might not know is that all big Latin American television stations and networks have correspondents up in the States reporting on Latin news up there. You see them all the time on the nightly news down here, and it's always in Spanish, of course. In fact, there's a number of Latin correspondents in Washington, D.C. covering the election news. So anyway, the cleaning lady was glued to the set, and there was a report from a Latin correspondent in D.C. He was interviewing a Latin immigration attorney who just happened to be giving advice to Latins living in the States who were there illegally. She was giving out tips on what and what not to do if U.S. immigration knocks on your front door. Now, can you imagine if they aired a news spot like that on national TV up in the States? Don't you think regular U.S. citizens would be absolutely outraged? Or maybe not. I've been away from the States a long, long time. Who am I to judge? Anyway, here's what she said. If ICE, that's ICE, the U.S. Immigration Authority, knocks at your door, do not under any circumstances open that door and remain absolutely quiet until you're sure they have left. She said they cannot break your door down or entice you to open the door, nor can they pick your lock and enter or come through a window, whether it's open or not. She said they can only come in and rout you out if you give them permission. Don't give them permission. Which is why she said you should all have a safe space in your house to go and wait it out. A place in the house, preferably with no windows, and if there are windows, the shades should be permanently drawn. Now, when I saw this, my eyes must have been bugging out. I just couldn't believe it. Damn, I wish I could have recorded that. And there's reason number 4,226 why you just have to vote with your feet. Get that Plan B in action now. It's true, the U.S. is really not your country anymore. It's a country overrun by big, malignant government, massive corporate interests who actually own those scumbag politicians, and anyone who can sneak past that 2,000 miles of virtually unprotected border. But I digress as usual. So that's the kind of propaganda you see down here on Latin TV, stuff you never see or hear about up in the States, even though it's coming right out of the mouths of Latin reporters stationed right up where you live. And as far as that Latin immigration lawyer up in the States, I think she ought to be beat to a pulp with a selfie stick and shoved in a room with no windows. As far as I can see, she's taking advantage of the U.S. system just as much as anyone who sneaks in illegally. Why? Because that's how she makes her money, and she admitted it on TV. She said, undocumented Americans in the States make up most of her client base. But let's not get into lawyer bashing. There are better things to talk about. Here's an email I've been promising to get to for a long time, but it just slipped through the cracks. This one comes from Brad. He says, Johnny, during my recent research on living in Honduras, it appears that I can earn an interest rate at the bank of 10% or more down there for large deposits. Like, for example, $50,000 plus. Seems too good to be true considering the pathetic rates here in the U.S. What's the cash? Volatility? No insurance to back up the deposit? Even reviewing a 10-year history of Honduran funny money, it seems, all things considered, a much better deal than you can get up in the U.S. Well, Brad, you're right. All over Latin America, you can get pretty high interest rates compared to the States. In fact, you can get 10% in a local funny money in a lot of Latin countries. However, you have to put it in for a long term, a year or more. And even though, if you look at the histories of some of these Latin currencies, they seem very stable, even over 10 years. And he's right. In the case of the Honduran Lempira, it's been very stable. That's also true of the Guatemalan Quetzal and some others. Now, most gringos I know who are successful at this kind of thing, they don't like to buy funny money CDs with terms of over 3 months. That way, they've got some flexibility, and when it comes due, they can roll it over if the currency remains stable, or they can cash out if it's taken a dive, then put into dollars, gold, Bitcoin, land, whatever. Now, the odd thing is that some Latin funny monies are quite stable and others are going absolutely crazy. And not in a good crazy way either. Take, for example, the Venezuelan Bolivar, highest inflation rate in the world. Take the Brazil Real. Now, if you remember, about 2 years ago, they were talking about how Brazil was the next big powerhouse in the world. All the economic signals and signs were positive. The real was zooming against the dollar. Pundits were saying, get into the stock market, buy land, etc., etc. All those pundits were wrong. Over that last two-year period, the Brazilian real crashed one-third. That's 33%. So let's say you had 50 grand in Brazilian reals over that two-year period, and you were getting 10% interest a year on it. Well, over that two-year period, you'd have lost 10% of your money. Okay, then how about the Argentine peso? Well, let's pick 2 years again. It's lost 50% against the U.S. dollar. That means if you'd have had money in an Argentine peso CD at 10%, you'd have lost close to a third of your dough as measured against the U.S. dollar. So as it turns out, the countries that get the most remises, that is, money being sent from family members up in the States, oddly enough, those are the countries that seem to have the strongest funny money over the long term. So then how does that make their funny money so strong? Well, their banks are flush with U.S. dollars, way too many of them. And locals who receive those remises in dollars have to turn them into the local funny money to spend them, since retailers do not accept dollars as a rule, only the local money. However, in those places on the Gringo Tourist Trail, they will accept dollars. So, in Costa Rica, Panama, Mexico, etc., they will take dollars, but the exchange rate will be pretty terrible. Sometimes 5, even 10% of what you could get at the local bank when exchanging money. And happy, starry-eyed gringos on vacations are often glad to take that 5 or 10% loss. They'd rather pay in dollars because they just can't get the hang of the funny money. And locals are glad to gouge those rich gringos. So while gringo tourists are constantly getting gouged, gringos who live down here permanently know better and always exchange their money at the bank. And never at one of those currency exchange places at the airport. They really gouge you. Anyway, my recommendation if you want to get a funny money CD down here, don't take it out for a term more than 3 months. And do check out the 5 and 10 year charts on the currency you're interested in, that is, how it's performed against the US dollar in that time. And if it hasn't moved against the US dollar more than 5% or so in all that time, you're probably pretty safe. However, if you're going to get a CD, why not get one in US dollars? Sure, they're paying about half the rate of the Funny Money CDs, but still you can get up to 5, even 6% annual rate. And your only worry there is if the bank's kind of unstable and banks do fail down here, but your lawyer will know which are the strongest banks and the ones that have been around the longest and have no reserve or liquidity problems or exposure to derivatives and such. So don't just pick a bank out of the newspaper because they're advertising high interest rates. Always check with your lawyer. In fact, use the bank your lawyer uses. Oh, and one last thing. Brad asked if they have deposit insurance. Well, they all do. But they pay so little. Most all banks down here have a deposit insurance cap of, get this, from $2,000 to $5,000, which is shocking and does scare gringos. However, if you talk to a Latin person about it, they're more than happy with it because about up to 5 years ago, most Latin banks did not have deposit insurance at all. And by the way, since probably 95% of all Latins don't have more than $200 in the bank, they're nowhere near the $2,000 deposit limit, so it hardly matters. Okay, we're getting towards the end now, so let me remind you once again, you can still sign up for my July 2016 Latin Insider Seminar to be held in and around Guatemala, mostly well off the gringo tourist trail. So find out how to get your plan B in motion and come on down. You know, to vote with your feet, you'll need some connections, and that's what we're here for. So just go to www.thenewexpat.com and click on Johnny's July 2016 seminar link. While you're at that website, don't forget to check out John Galt's pre- and post-seminar trips too. When you're down here, you'll want to make the best use of your time. And seminar attendees are forever asking me about extra days they might like to spend down here. Many of them want to get even more boots on the ground. That is, without hooking up with a travel agency for a canned trip and a boring guide. Which is why I highly recommend John Galt's pre- and post-seminar tours, because you won't get that kind of experience and knowledge or boots on the ground from any tourist agency, that's for sure. So do check out the pre- and post-seminar trips on the newexpat.com webpage as well. By the way, more and more of you listeners are hitting on my YouTube channel, so thanks for checking that out. That's how you can see the great photos and slides that go along with the audio. Do subscribe, it's free.
South of the border.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.